The only other thing that we added to the style are outlines. So everything has an outline just to improve the readability as well. And also kind of it helped with giving this very simple and flat shade look more of a finished sense of that it's actually finished, because if it lacks the outline, it kind of looks very prototypey in a way.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the Game Engineering Podcast. Today I am speaking with Paul, a half of Grizzly Game Studios. Together with Jonas Tyroller, which you might know from his YouTube channel, Paul is developing Thronefall, which is currently in early access. Thronefall is a mix of strategy and tower defense, and we discuss its lovely toon shader style of rendering, a unique control scheme, and other cool aspects in this video. I hope you like it. Let's hop into Thronefall. And tell me a little bit about Thronefall, like an overview. What's the game about?
Well, Thronefall, I would say, sits on the edge between being a classic tower defense and a classic real-time strategy game. So it's a small indie game. And we kind of, well, try to combine the best aspects, or at least the aspects we like most of both genres. So we kind of took the very the snappy core game loop of most tower defense games, spiced things a bit up with, well, maybe more complexity or deepness, but much of this complexity we also tried to, well, not hide, but we tried to still make it very accessible. And that was the part where we tried to remove the aspects of classic real-time strategy games that usually tended to stress us out. So we tried to tone down the complexity of classic RTS games quite a bit, and well, that's the game we ended up with.
Yeah, like the game is very easy to hop into. One of the things that I wanted to talk to you about is like the tutorial aspect. Like, you're starting the game and like within 3 minutes you're actually playing the game. First of all, you're understanding what you're supposed to do, and then the game is very quickly from like hand-holding tutorial that is very common in games now into more like, okay, you can pick, like, it's still a tutorial, but like you can know what to do, like spend gold as much as you want. But before maybe we hop into the Thronefall details, tell me also how you split the roles inside Grizzly between you and Jonas, like who worked on what parts?
Well, we don't really have fixed roles at all over at Grizzly Games, because since it's us, just us, so two people, we kind of do a bit of everything, and we both have a very generalistic skill set, so we are both able to program, both able to like do pretty much anything related to a game, at least on an okay level. So, of course, we have different strengths, but basically we're able to work on most parts of the game. And then what we usually do is just kind of assign tasks as they come up. So we look at our prototype or our production plan, and then we see, okay, well, those are the tasks that are coming up this week or this month. And then we kind of just try to assign them to each other. And well, the assigning process then is obviously a lot based on personal preference and our strengths. Then usually I work on the more on the visual side of things. For example, in Thronefall, I took care of most of the graphics, of the UI, stuff like that. Jonas is usually the person who's better at like the hardcore balancing of the game's parameters. So he took care of all the balancing. He came up with most of the units. He came up with the level designs and the, with the Thronefall specific kind of order in that buildings can be built and are connected with. So that's usually our kind of split of roles, and everything else we just, well, shift around between us. And during the prototyping and the phase where we kind of come up with ideas for a game, we really do everything. So,
okay,
the process I described was just it kind of applies to later stages of production. And in the early beginning, we really kind of have our hands on everything.
Okay. And you mentioned, the video, I think I heard it in the video, Jonas, that the Frontfall was designed with gameplay separately from the art. I found this quite interesting and insightful. Like, can you speak more to this process? How did you find it, like, having separate art pipeline and, like, or at least, like, prototype pipeline, prototyping art separately from the gameplay and gameplay separately from the art?
I think it was mainly done to be able to iterate very quickly. And so, for example, in my visual development prototype, I could just break things, add new things without affecting Jonas's gameplay prototype. And it just allowed us to move forward quickly at the beginning of production and also kind of make sure that all aspects of the game were progressing in at the same speed, kind of. So we didn't want to be in a situation where we put in a year of development into the gameplay systems and then still not know how the game should look, because especially at the beginning of the project, we weren't quite sure how big the scope was supposed to be for the project. We didn't really know whether we wanted to be finished in 6 months or a year or 2 years. So we decided we wanted to keep every core aspect of the game on kind of the same level always, so we could we would be able to decide on short notice that we wanted to finish the project.
Okay.
So that was basically the idea behind it. And then after, I think, the initial month or so, we quickly merged those different prototypes. And after we still had split up the responsibilities, but we worked in the same project. So...
Okay, so this was for the very early prototyping stages when you were just very quickly iterating and changing a lot of things.
Exactly.
I had the idea that it was running more long term, and then like it was merged quite long term. This was a bit different.
If I remember correctly, it was only for the initial month or so of the project, and then afterwards we worked on the same project.
So have you known the theme? Like, you knew that you want it to be like more castle fantasy oriented world when you were interacting on the art part, or?
Yes, so it was actually it was a quite interesting process how we came up with the idea for Thronefall, because the idea that it was this whole castle setting thing, that was, I think, the very first part of it, because we initially in the months before, we were prototyping another game that was kind of, we thought that was the game we wanted to produce, and it was a card game, actually.
Okay.
Playing on a similar fantasy. It was a card game about building your kingdom and like managing all the different aspects of your kingdom in a kind of like Game of Thrones type of vibe. And it just was a very bad, bad prototype. And then at one point we kind of moved on already from the prototyping phase into the early stages of production. That was when we realized it's not going to be a successful game. And then we decided to scrap everything we had and just kept the fantasy that we liked. This fantasy of like, well, just having your little kingdom that grows and you manage. And then we tried to come up with ideas that would cater to the same fantasy. And then after some more painful weeks of producing weird prototypes that didn't really work out, I think Jonas actually has a whole video on this process in his YouTube channel somewhere, where he also documented the kind of prototypes we came up with. So definitely look that up if you're interested in the details. And then we at some point just came up with the mechanics for Thronefall, but it was very clear at that point already that it's going to be this castle, kingdom, medieval fantasy kind of thing.
Okay. And then when you were iterating on the prototype, on the art part, what were you looking for in the iterations? Because I can imagine mechanics, when you're iterating on the mechanics, I can wrap my head around in terms of like, okay, I want this to be, let's say, scaling properly, the numbers should be correct. And when you're iterating on art, what were the things that you were looking for?
Well, actually, mostly we were looking for something that could be achieved by us as a team, because, well, I mean, I said we are able to do kind of everything before, but both of us are not really good artists. Like, I mean, we were able to produce some art and able to do some 3D modeling, but we're not good at it. And actually, we used to be a three-person team over here at Crystal Games, but Friedemann, the third member, left the company a while ago, like in good faith, and we are still good friends, but he just wanted to pursue more of his personal projects. And he's a really good artist, so he was always the person responsible for the visual development in our past projects. And now we were suddenly in a situation where we were kind of really missing someone to fit this role. So the utmost priority for us was to just find something that worked and was very simple, and that we were confident that we could produce the amount of content we needed for Thronefall in. Because very early on, we realized, different from other games we created in the past, we wouldn't go with a procedural generation approach for Thronefall. So it was clear that we would have to build quite a lot of actual content. And that was then the core priority, to find an art style that allowed us to very quickly and cheaply produce this content with our limited artistic skills.
You're saying limited artistic skills, but Thronefall looks amazing. Like, it's super sharp, clean, and it's simplistic in the design, but it so much helps with what you're actually trying to do. It looks really nice.
Thank you. That really makes me very happy, especially in perspective to what I just said, that we are quite struggling with this aspect.
And so maybe can we dive a little bit deeper into how Thronefall is rendered? Can you speak more into this? Like, it has like cell shaded elements, so it's not just that you apply colors to materials to things. Can you give me a little bit more like in depth things on the rendering?
Yeah, it's actually pretty simple. I mean, for Thronefall, then we used an asset from the Unity Asset Store. It's called FlatKit, and it's basically a collection of, or it's one large toon shader that can do many things. But what we used it then for is actually super simple to achieve, and I already used it for other projects and recreated like the same effect in Godot, for example. So it's really a simple shader in the end. And what it does is just flat shading every 3D object into three colors, basically. And those are like three values. So there is a light color, a mid color, and a shadow color. And then the idea for Thronefall's visual direction was that everything was rendered in this three value flat shading. And there was one color that every object shared with the other objects, and that is the shadow color. So the shadow color is always global for each level. It varies from level to level depending on the mood and the lighting setup, but it's always one color that all the shadows share. So all shadows and all dark parts of objects have always the same flat color. And then for the other two values, we kind of grouped objects into categories, because we wanted to have a very, very good readability, because we thought it would be important for the gameplay then to just very quickly be able to distinguish between your buildings, your units, your enemies. So we grouped those objects in exactly those categories. We have buildings, we have friendly units, we have enemies, we have foliage, we have the ground, mountains, and water. And those are like, I think, seven different types of objects. And then we define like a pair of colors for every of those categories, for the buildings, for the units, for the mountains, for the foliage, etc. And then we, out of this limited colors, we build a color scheme for every level. And I think that's basically already it. We just then shade every building the same way, every friendly unit. And the only other thing that we added to the style are outlines. So everything has an outline just to improve the readability as well. And also kind of it helped with giving this very simple and flat shade look more of a finished sense of that it's actually finished, because if it lacks the outline, it kind of looks very prototypey in a way.
Yeah. Okay.
It just looks a bit more finished if it has the outlines. I can't explain why, but it's just the way it is.
Okay.
So we add the outlines as well, and the outlines are in the level's shadow color as well. So everything has outlines in the same color, and that is the shadow color. So it kind of fits in nicely into the shadowed areas. And essentially, the objects then only have an outline in the parts where they are not shadowed. Because in the shadow part, the outline is basically invisible because it has the same color as the shadow.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And so we have 7 categories, and the colors are per category. So that's why when you're switching levels, you can easily change. Okay, for this level, we kind of have like more wintery vibe. So we tweak the colors and everything adjusts.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. We kind of apply then the color schemes with those categories to every level. And we also we use this, for example, in the endless mode. There we apply a random color scheme to every level. So suddenly it snows in the first level, or you have the color scheme from the tutorial in the second level.
Like random, that, random, or like random from the predefined subsets of colors?
No, random from the predefined subsets.
Okay. So. Because this would be wild if it was like very bright pink. Very bright pink.
No, we're not doing that. That would be too much, I think.
Okay. And also I like the water shader, like with this like lines flowing from the like this small waterfall and following up in the river. It was really nicely. And was it the same shader? Because it wouldn't, I think you would need something more to have this effect.
It's basically the same shader, just with an added texture that scrolls.
Okay.
Just the UVs are scrolling, and the texture is a very stretched stripe texture, I think. It has like those lines are like very thin stripes unevenly scattered over the texture, and then it just scrolls.
Okay. Really cool. If you work with this also in Unity, because this is in Unity, right?
Yeah, it's all done in Unity.
If you work in this in Unity, do you turn off the shader, for example, for the prototyping and development, things like that, for it to run smoother, or it is enough for it to be like rendered constantly in the editor?
No, it's actually, I think that's another accidental upside of the shading approach, is that it runs very quickly. Like, it's a very performant approach, I think, because the whole flat shading thing makes stuff super cheap to render, because there are basically no textures except for the water and the ground. The ground has a kind of like noisy texture just to break up the very large unicolored area. It has a kind of like noise texture that spreads over all over the ground and has like those little patches in the shadow color of the level.
Okay.
But other than that, there are no textures at all, and I think that makes it quite fast to render. Especially the combination of all models are rather low poly, because of the flat shading, you wouldn't see much of the details anyway. And this combination of very low poly models and no textures just basically makes it very performant.
And for the models, have you done them yourselves, or was it also like some asset store, some changes?
We have done, I think, except for the horse, the player character sits on everything. We have modeled ourselves, and very badly so. Like, the models are terrible. the monitor terrible, but that's another accidental upside of the chosen flat shading art style, is that you can hide very, like, you can hide terrible geometry in the flat shading because you just don't see it at the, in the end.
It's, yeah, but like that's really smart to plan for with like your theme size in mind, with the all of the parts pretty much, rendering, like modeling, all of the things are tuned for your needs and like use case, what you really need and what you can do. And it's really smart use, because like from the game you don't see this, like this, you see a deliberate choice of rendering that looks nice, and I think that's a lot, it's underappreciated art of people working in game dev industry, that like they fight with time and effort and resources all the time, and they need to make it look nice and play nice, but with the least amount of effort. It's always this like trade-offing.
Yeah, I think it's quite hard. I struggle with this all the time with my personal projects, that I just default too quickly in this like standard approach of physically based rendering that is kind of the industry standard, and it's not very useful if you are a small team and have very limited resources. But I think because it's like the most propagated way of doing things, it's it's just very easy to fall into this habit of just then applying textures and roughness maps and normal maps to everything, and then halfway into the project, at least I always realize that it's just the effort of creating a single asset is just much too high for me to achieve in a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah, and then you scale.
Yeah, I'm quite happy with the approach we took with Runefall.
Okay. Tell me a little bit more about the how player controls the character and how that came to be. Because I find it quite entertaining to just control the character and the infantry and all the units that you have under your control. And I think I've seen some references of that in other places, but not really how that fleshed out like in Frontfall. How does let's say controlling character came to be?
I think at least the simplicity mostly came from our approach to or our idea to make the game as accessible as possible to all kinds of players, and especially also on every kind of platform, because we struggled with this in the past. This is kind of our philosophy. We really want to make very accessible games, but in the past, for example, the game we created before, Islanders, there you would place like buildings on a mouse on islands with a mouse, and you had to be quite precise with it, and it turned out to be something that is quite hard to transfer into other platforms. We don't have access to mouse, so that was our learning there, and therefore our priority when designing the UX was that it should be, or it should have, a very simple input scheme that would be easily transferable to all kinds of platforms. So it should work on mobile, it should work with controller, it should work on keyboard. So that was the idea. And then we kind of tried to basically just have a two-axis input for the character movement, which allows you to move your character in all directions you need to. And then one single main interaction button, which is the space bar on keyboard or the A button and controller. And then we had to add a couple of more buttons that would do specific things, but that are more for advanced play. So I think basically you can control most of the game with two buttons or a controller, like a joystick and a button. And I think that then led to those other decisions. For example, how you command units in the game is, I think, a very unusual way to command units in strategy games. Usually you would select them with your mouse and, tell them where to go and what to do. But for this kind of input scheme, the same problem would apply I described earlier. It just transfers very badly onto controller and touch input. I mean, touch input would be okay, but controller is terrible, which is, I think, also probably the reason why you would never, like, you never see really those strategy games on consoles. It just doesn't work really well with the input scheme. And then we kind of just try to base every element of input around your player. So everything is very context sensitive on where your player is in the current moment and what is surrounding your player. And therefore the kind of interaction you can do changes. So if you are close to a building spot, you can interact with the building spot by paying coins. If you're close to your enemies and it's night, you can attack them with your active weapon ability. And if you're close to your troops, you can kind of like rally them around you and let them follow you as long as you, until you tell them to stop somewhere and, well, you station them there.
Yeah. And you mentioned the modifier keys, the more advanced, right? With the shift and control, depending on what you want to do. And like, for example, speeding up your character. So what platforms is Thronefall on currently?
Currently it's only on PC, okay. Because for the whole phase, I mean, it's still in early access right now, and for the whole process of having the game in early access, we wanted to limit ourselves to one storefront. And also, I think it's not really a possibility in most platforms to do proper early access. So yeah. Right now, okay. It's only in Steam, but we definitely want to bring it on other platforms as well.
Okay. So this control scheme is both for the PC keyboard and PC controller, but also like a thing for the future for the different platforms.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely mostly it has been designed with other platforms already.
Okay. And the controlling units with this in this regard, it's fun and it's like a mini game in and of itself. Like one thing is to control units and prepare them for the battle, but then during the battle when you have like all sorts of directions with the enemies coming from different places, it's like I get into this like not rage mode, but I'm panicking with like I'm trying to hook this person, but no, I got the other one. Like this is like a mini game, like a subsystem that created kind of itself, or is it accidental, or is it on purpose to like add this depth in terms of moving things around?
No, I think it was probably, I mean, I can't entirely say what Jonas thinking was when he implemented the details of the system, but I think most of it was accidental by this limitation of we didn't want to have any precise mouse input or more keys. And we wanted to have everything based around the player character. We just kind of ended up with this system where suddenly it generates a lot of depth by the way you're controlling your units. So I think we didn't really plan for it, but I agree it's quite a fun way to command your units around. And I think we were surprised by how much fun it is to lead your units that way, because we haven't seen it done in another game that way before. Yeah. So it was kind of an experiment, but I would agree that it's quite fun in itself, and it also caters to the fantasy in a nice way. You really feel like you're the ruler or the leader of your little army there, because yeah. You like have to ride up to them personally and like collect them and tell them where to go.
Yeah, especially when there's like a one unit that you really need, but on the other side of the map and right now, yeah. And you're like, please, please come here, please, let's go.
I mean, it has its downsides. I definitely have to admit that as well. Sometimes it gets frustrating. It's of course not as precise as selecting and commanding units with your mouse, but we kind of try to... we already have added a couple of quality of life features there, and we're probably looking into it further just to make it easier for the advanced players to group their units into different, like, well, maybe different platoons that you can quick select and, you know, yeah. Just stuff like that makes managing a lot of units easier, because I think that's a part of the game where it gets quite stressful sometimes.
And then it also like depends on the direction of Thronefall itself, right? Because adding more mechanics will make it more complex, more advanced, and more like RTS style game, where it's more just difficult and challenging in general. And right now, Thronefall is super easy to get into. Like, you open up the game, you start this, and like within 2 minutes, you're already inside the game playing. You know what to do. Like, I can't stress enough. I fell in love with the way of like tutorialization and just showing the game to the player. It was like, it's a masterpiece. Like, people can learn from this so much. Like, without hand holdingness, or limited to the bare minimum so that nobody shoots themselves in the foot, but straight into the game and already doing the things that you are supposed to do. Because currently, like, if you open up the WoW, the retail, the new one, World of Warcraft, you're like 15 minutes in the game and you didn't really play it because you're still like it, absorbing all the things that you're supposed to do and like being directed. And this is quite the opposite. Like,
Yeah, I think it's quite difficult with games that just offer so much complexity. It's really difficult to bring that to a starting out player.
Have you worked, have you like iterated on the tutorial, or did it happen like in you from the get-go that you want this?
Well, we definitely knew that we wanted this kind of tutorial because I mean, there isn't so much complexity that any other kind of tutorial would have made a lot of sense. So we definitely want a hands-on kind of just playthrough tutorial. We iterated a bit on it, especially during we had a demo out before the early access release. So we got a lot of valuable feedback there from players. And it was surprisingly hard for some players to get into the game initially. So there were some aspects they just didn't really understood. So we put quite some work into the tutorial. I think right now the tutorial works quite well for explaining the very basics of the game. And I think we definitely want to rework it at some point, and it's going to be a bit difficult to do two things basically, keeping the original simplicity and also kind of maybe not explain everything in detail, but at least hint to players that there are more advanced features that they can use if they want to. Because that's kind of we're torn between those two approaches, because at one point we want to keep everything as simple as it is, but then there's also the desire by the more advanced players to have more control over things and like be able to use certain aspects of the game better. And I think our philosophy is that we kind of want to always keep it in a state where the game is so simple to access that everybody can pick it up. And it's just playable very well if you just use the basic features of it. But we also want to offer at least some advanced features for the players that really want to dive deep into it and chase their high scores and stuff like that, to offer them more quality of life and more opportunities to kind of like use the whole depth that the game system has to offer.
Okay. And tell me a little bit more, generally speaking, what were the challenges with Thronefall that came up during the development? What have you found difficult?
I think the first thing was the art style. That was like the first big challenge because we were kind of overwhelmed with it. And I think further down the line, we were. Well, actually, a tutorial was another
Okay.
challenge, at least for a while, because we didn't really know how to, well, make everything clear to new players without having a very.
How did it look before on the demo?
Well, I think it looked similar, but it involved less steps. I think it ended more more quickly.
Okay.
For example, I don't think it explained the active ability of the weapon to you.
Okay.
And let's. I can't even remember how it looked exactly. I can just remember that we had quite a amount of difficulties to make things clear to everyone. And well,
other difficult parts.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I think.
I mean, if there weren't, it's quite
generally
nice.
Like, I mean, it's always a bit of a struggle, and you move like back and forth. You try out things, but I think the biggest difficulty was the initial game we tried to make, the card game that we then scrapped. Okay. That was like the biggest mistake in the whole development. And we definitely wasted like 3 months on it. But I think then after we overcame the initial challenges with Runfall, being the art style, and then maybe, I think in the beginning we weren't really sure if we were going for a more procedural approach, a more like roguelike, endless kind of thing, or if we wanted to have those hand-built levels. And I think I was more on the side of the procedural roguelike thing, because I'm always scared of building a lot of content. And I had no experience with creating such a kind of game. But then Jonas advocated very strongly for the hand-built approach. And I think for the way Thronefall works, it was definitely the right decision, because of the building slots that are laid out in a very specific way to make the level fun and to make it work. It would be very difficult to generate this whole system procedurally and still have it feel like a well thought out experience. So that was, I think, another challenge we faced in the beginning of the game. But after we solved those initial challenges, I think we didn't run into any major major problems along the way.
That can only be summed up with like congrats on the planning part, because that's like the scoping and planning. It seems like it turned out really well. If you didn't hit like a roadblock, there's no way we can make, let's say, this amount of animations because we didn't plan for this or something like that. So that's another congrats on the Thronefall development, I guess.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, Jonas has this saying, he keeps repeating it, be cheap so you can be generous. And I think it really did as well that we made those initial decisions with the art style, because there was so much we probably didn't really plan for, but that just came with it then by accident, that made the content production super, super quick. Because you just mentioned animations, and I mean, animations as well, they just, in this kind of style, you get away with so much. Like, the animations are so bad, honestly. But for the most part, I mean, there's room for improvement for sure, but for the most part, you don't really see it, because it's just, you can hide so much in those big shapes of color that you just don't see anymore in the end. And if we would have gone with another kind of style, there would have been so much different tasks that would have cost us a lot more time. So that was really a lucky pick with the flat shading in the beginning.
Yeah, it seems like it turned out really well in terms of the whole development pipeline. And like you mentioning that the card game was wasted 3 months, you can think of this as a waste, but you can also think like you could have spent a lot more time in this, so it would be much more devastating, right? And then you get this feeling, okay, we really want to do the fantasy thing, kingdom king style out of it. So like it's not gone entirely, I think.
Well, no, I wouldn't regard it wasted. I mean, obviously it was what has been necessary to lead to Thronefall then, but that was definitely a part where we really hit a wall very hard and just realized that everything we've done so far wasn't working at all. And that was just a really bad idea to try and make this game. But I think probably like one more thought on this. Probably it was quite helpful then for the planning of the development of Thronefall, because we were so scared by just misplanning the project we tried to do before, that we then, I think, were really careful with the scope and the kind of things we wanted to do. So I guess parts of the parts of why the planning of Thronefall worked out quite well then was that we crashed into this wall so hard before and were really afraid of doing the same mistake again.
Okay. How would you say how much time it takes to create a new level in Thronefall, both the design, both the design part, and then the implementation part?
I think we are rather quick by now. I mean, it depends on the level, of course, but I would say maybe around 3 weeks, but that is some 3-day work weeks. So we're currently on a schedule where we do 3 days a week for Grista Games, and then we both have just personal projects going on we want to work on as well. So around 9 working days, maybe.
Okay. That's quite fast, I think, right?
How it much depends on the level. Maybe it's sometimes okay. It's 12 or 15 working days, but it can be quite quick.
How much do you spend, do you think, from this part, how much is it on the design and how much is it on the implementation? Or do you need any specific thing to implement after you designed it and like moved things around?
That also kind of depends on the level, because so far the approach was to introduce new types of enemies and new buildings, new perks, new weapons, and even new units, usually, I think, with every new level. And that, of course, costs a bit more time in both implementation and design. But I think it is something we will now, towards the end of the content development, we will kind of work more with what we already have, so there's no need to introduce 10 new enemies with every level anymore. We have quite a big tool set already of different things we can try out now. And I think then, well, the initial idea usually, I mean, it's often Jonas's part, but I think for him the initial idea usually comes quite fast, but then I'm under the impression that the most time he spends with then carefully playtesting the level. So he's like assembling the layout and the different kinds of buildings and the enemy waves. And then he looks how it plays, tweaks tiny things. And then from there on, it's just a very iterative process.
Okay. I'd like to spend some time also to ask you about like the future. And since this is early access and like the future is usually somewhat secret, so feel free to like say, no, I'm not allowed, / I'm not gonna discuss these things. But yeah, like the game is currently in early access. Do you have like a roadmap / date for the release, when like the actual release?
We don't have a fixed roadmap, but I think we're definitely aiming towards finishing the project this year. So kind of towards the end of 2024, we kind of want to be done with it. So there will be several new content updates until then, new levels, new weapons, new perks, new just a bunch of more stuff for the game. And then we hopefully be able to wrap things up this year.
Okay. It's great to hear. That's Baldur's Gate had 3 years of early access, so that's definitely shorter part.
Well, I mean, it did Baldur's Gate quite well, I think. Turned out amazing. I think much of it is, well, has to be credited to a very good early access.
Yeah.
Kind of like the way they managed it.
Yeah, they redesigned how the UI based on early access, and there's like a lot of opinions about it. But that the UI, the original UI, is not the HUD original like things that you see on the screen from the graphical interface while playing, not the menus, but the inside the game. And yeah, Early access can be extremely beneficial. I am a big proponent for early access in
Yeah,
general.
we were quite happy with it actually as well. It was the first project we launched into early access, and we weren't quite sure how what to expect from early access. And for us, it has been a huge success because we just gathered so much valuable feedback, so many opinions on things in the game, and really helped us to kind of compensate for that we are just two people playing and testing the game usually when we develop it. So it's very easy to have like skewed view of what the game actually is and whether if it's hard enough, too hard, whatever. So it's like a massive QA basically. It was very, very helpful for us. But you also, of course, you get just a lot of opinions. So I have to admit that at this point, I'm looking forward to finishing the project at some point because it's just mentally very draining and exhausting to constantly process all the feedback you get. And I'm looking forward to the point where I can just say, okay, it's done now, it's finished. I appreciate your feedback, but I'm not going to touch it anymore. So I don't constantly feel compelled to like work on the things that apparently are not good enough yet.
How would you rate how much of in like percentage wise how much of the feedback you get is I would say valuable how much is like hey I'm seeing this problem here and how much of it is like not to use like derogatory language but like let's say not like misleading or unhelpful.
I think probably like 95% of it is very helpful. There are very few like bad reviews or the every now and then like maybe a discussion post where people just say, I hate this game, which is not really like, well, I mean, there's nothing you can do based on this. But well, even with like very negative feedback, there is usually something to take away from it, I'd say. Like if people, something we get quite often is that people were expecting more of a traditional strategy game. Maybe they are dissatisfied with the way how you have to place buildings in fixed spots for them. And even though this is nothing we can really like act on, or at least not something we want to act on, because we I mean, Thronefell is deliberately designed around the way how building slots are fixed, but at least tells us that we maybe have to do a better job at communicating to potential players what the game is and what it's about. So I would say really like pretty much all of the feedback we get is very valuable to us.
On that note, I would say managing expectations is a hard thing to do for a game. Like because if you say like strategy and you get hardcore RTS fans, it might not be the it might not be the player base that you're expecting, right? Or at least targeting. Tell me what is the things that you learned from Thronehold development?
I think the most important thing, or the two most important takeaways for me are first, definitely worth to scrap a project if you feel like it's leading nowhere, because I think sometimes there is this feeling that once after you poured a substantial amount of time into something, you have to follow through with it to like just make it worth to have spent the initial time with it. And I'm very happy that we didn't do it with the card game. So definitely, I would try to remember always to scrap things that just feel wrong. And the other thing was to really, at the beginning of the project, to really like analyze what your resources are, what you can do with it, and then trying to make the smart choices in the very beginning of the project so you don't have to carry the kind of technical or decision debt with you through the whole project. that maybe then lead to massive amounts of work later on because you made a different decision at the beginning of the project.
Okay.
And then also early access is fun. It's a great way to connect with your players. It's a great way to gain much of valuable feedback, but it's also kind of exhausting. So plan for it.
So tell me where people can find you, Grizzly Games, where people can follow your work.
Well, I think on Twitter mostly. We don't do much social media, but Grizzly Games, the Twitter account, and so do Jonas and I, which is, I think, where we share most of our work. Also, of course, Jonas has a fantastic YouTube channel where he shares a lot of insights about game development in general, his opinions on game design and development, and also, I think, every now a glimpse into development of Thronefall. So, especially if you're interested in more details about the design part of Thronefall, I think he has some very interesting videos on that where he explains much of his process. And then we have a Discord server for, well, basically every Grizzly Games game, but I think most of the people are there because of Thronefall. It's linked on the store page of Thronefall. And, well, I mean, if you like playing Thronefall and want to connect with fellow players, definitely join the Discord server as well.
Okay.
Also, a good place to follow like the general development of Grizzly Games. We will obviously announce all future projects, updates to Thronefall, stuff like that. We will announce there as well.
Yeah. And Thronefall, a Steam early access page to buy early access game.
Oh yeah, of course. Also. Always follow, stop by at the store page as well.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for sharing the insights with me and talking to me.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.